Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, would you please take them out and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 13 to 18. If you don't have a Bible, you can look along with your neighbor, or there should be one in the pews in front of you. Again, I'd like to remind everyone that we are currently in a sermon series through the book of 1 Thessalonians that is called Hope and Holiness. So this will be the fifth sermon in this series. Now, in this passage that we will be reading today, the Apostle Paul begins to address a concern that the Thessalonians had. And this concern is that their particular loved ones who have died, who have passed away, they needed a message of hope to be able to overcome their sorrow from losing their loved ones in the past. Now, I know that some of us, we may have personally experienced the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. And I understand how painful and how sorrowful this time can be. 2 weeks ago, right after the English worship service, you may remember that I told you that I had to leave the service right away. I had to get to Troy by 1 o'clock to attend a funeral service. And this is because there was a family, not from our church, who had a sister who had passed away from cancer. And they asked our church to prepare a memorial service for them. So I was with the family on the day when the sister had passed away at the hospital, and you know, I can see from the family grieving and how they were crying, and they were going through a lot of pain and sorrow over the loss of their loved ones. Even if we may not have experienced personally someone in our family or a friend who had passed away, I think a lot of us may actually fear death. We're not sure about what's going to happen after we leave this life. We're not sure what's going to happen even in the afterlife. Because there are a lot of people who go through this life thinking, oh, there is no hope of a life after death. So, I mean, this is why they're so afraid of death. We may find ourselves in that situation as well, too. I had a cousin from Hong Kong. He came to visit me one summer. And, like, we were talking, and he was sharing about his fear of death. So, I mean, I use this opportunity to comfort him and give him some hope by sharing the gospel. Now, on the other hand, I think many of us, we may not even think too much about death because we think, oh, we're still young, like, we're still like decades away from death and from the end of our life. But if this is the case, I think we fail to realize that really death can happen at any time, you know. Death can actually catch us by a surprise. Just in the news of this past week, there was a little toddler, 18 months old, in New Jersey. She fell out of an open window on a cruise from like 11 floors up, and this cruise was like still docked. It wasn't out at sea yet, and she fell right onto the docks. And unfortunately, she passed away. And of course, the family members who were there, like, they were grieving because this is supposed to be happy time. This is supposed to be their vacation. But then all of a sudden, this accident happened, and their toddler passed away. And they were so hysteric, even like the medics had to inject some sort of sedative to calm them down. So I mean, this shows that, you know, death can happen at any time. And on the other hand, we can also, because we see death a lot in the movies, we hear about it in the news, I think we can come to a point where we aren't affected by it anymore. We don't think about it anymore. And as a result, like, when it finally happens personally to us, we don't know how to respond. We don't know how to react. I say all this to really point out the fact that a lot of times we can think that death is something to be feared. Death is something that is very sorrowful. And it can be very hopeless. But is that the case? No. Like, because we are Christians, we are called to grieve differently. Because we are Christians, we have a particular hope that will help us to be able to overcome the times when we are grieving over the loss of someone. So as we look into today's passage, again, we'll see how the Apostle Paul comforts and encourages the Thessalonians who are so concerned about their loved ones who had passed away from this life. So again, I hope you're here with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 13 to 18 here. Please follow along as I read. Paul says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Verse 15. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with us as we look into your word every Sunday, Lord. Open our eyes and ears so that we can learn from you. And in particular today, I pray that you would give us hope and comfort in the face of death. Whether we are currently grieving over the loss of one of our loved ones, or maybe whether we are fearing death that could happen in the future, or maybe in preparation for a death that may be happening. Lord, we know that death is inevitable, but Lord, even despite the sin in this life, we can be able to have hope. Father, I pray that you would show us this hope. Show us how we can be able to be prepared to overcome this type of suffering and sorrow as we grieve. Father, please teach us. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, so from this passage that we had just read, we're going to be answering four main questions. Yes, we have four questions. So please write these down if you'd like to take notes. The first question that we'll ask is, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive to have comfort? First question, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? Then we'll move on to our second question. On what basis is this hope guaranteed? On what basis is this hope guaranteed? And then third question, how is this hope fulfilled? And then number four, how can Christians respond to this hope? So again, those four questions. Number one, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? Number two, on what basis is this hope a guarantee? Number three, how is this hope fulfilled? And then four, how can Christians respond to this hope? So let's start with the first question. What hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? Let's start at the beginning of this passage again in verse 13. Again, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, "But we, Paul and Silas, do not want you, the Thessalonians, to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep." So in other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, we don't want you, the Thessalonians, to be misunderstanding about those who have fallen asleep. Or it's falling asleep is a euphemism for those who have passed away, their loved ones. Because apparently, the Thessalonians, they were falsely taught that Christ will come back in the second time to this earth before any of them would pass away. And we know this is false. No, Christ still hasn't come back yet, and yet a lot of the Thessalonians, their loved ones who are in Christ, have passed away. So they were sorrowful, they were grieving, yes, because they were separated from their loved ones, but at the same time, they were grieving because they were worried about their loved ones' spiritual condition. Because in Jewish thought, now it was held that those who are alive when Christ, or when at the end of the world, will be better off than those who have passed away. So in an application to the Christian tradition, the Thessalonians had thought, oh, then my loved ones who have passed away, if they're not here at the moments on earth, when Christ actually comes back, then they would be spiritually disadvantaged. They would be missing out. So this is another reason why they were so sorrowful, why they were grieving. But yet, the Apostle Paul wants to comfort them. He wants to give them encouragement. So read verse 13 again. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." that you may not grieve as others do who do not have hope. So Paul wasn't saying that they shouldn't grieve at all. No, grieving is a natural emotion and a natural process over someone who has passed away. So that should be natural. That's normal. Even Jesus Christ, when Lazarus, his friend, had passed away, he grieved. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 35, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible, it just says, Jesus wept. The shortest verse, but yet it shows the deepness and the sorrow that even Jesus felt over grieving the loss over someone. So it's okay and normal for us to grieve, but here, Paul is saying that we as Christians should grieve differently. And why? Because we have a particular hope. In verse 13, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. What is this hope? Continue on, read verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So as Christians, yes, we have hope in the gospel, and we have hope in Jesus who had died on the cross for our sins and rose up again and defeated death. But in particular, Paul was mentioning about this next thing that is actually the thing that will comfort them. He's saying that God will bring with him, Jesus, those who have fallen asleep. So Paul is saying that at the end times, when Christ comes back again, there will be the resurrection of the dead. There will be, Christ will bring back with him those who have fallen asleep or those who have passed away. So Paul is comforting them by saying that one day they will see their believing loved ones again. One day they will be reunited with them. So to answer our first question, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? Here's the answer. Christians grieving over death can be comforted with a hope of reunion with their loved ones. I'll say that again. Christians grieving over death can be comforted with a hope of reunion with their loved ones. Now, 2 weeks ago, at the funeral that I mentioned that I went to right after the English worship service, I had preached a sermon of hope to encourage this family and all the of their friends that were attending the funeral of this sister who had passed away. And I used this passage, actually, these first two verses, in verse 13 and 14. Now, this sister, she had recently become a believer. She used to be a Buddhist. And now she has this hope in Christ. And I know that she wanted her family members and her friends who aren't believers attending her funeral to also hear about this hope. So I use this opportunity to preach the gospel and share about how one day, as believers, they will be able to see their sister again who has passed away, because she will come back as with Christ. She will be resurrected when Christ comes back to earth on this day. I'm giving family members who are grieving this futuristic hope. Another example, when I was growing up, my family would also drive this particular grandma to church in Boston every single Sunday. And I remember this particular grandma, before she passed away, she was telling me that she wants to tell her family members that one day she will pass away. But when she does pass away, she doesn't want her family members to cry, but rather to be joyful, because they will know that she is in heaven with Christ. And they should know that one day they will see her again in heaven or when Christ comes back. So again, there is comfort in the hope of being able to see your believing loved ones again, resurrected. Or even earlier this year in January during Pastor Shah's funeral, one of the last hymns that we sang in Chinese was called Zai Jian Mian, meaning see you again. So again, as Christians, we find comfort in the hope that we will be reunited with our believing loved ones after they have been resurrected when Christ returns. So again, our first question, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? And as we said, Christians grieving over death can be comforted with a hope of reunion with their loved ones. So as the Apostle Paul said, we shouldn't be grieving just like everyone else who have no hope. Rather, we do have this hope. So because we know that we will see our loved ones again in the future, we should be joyful. We should not succumb to despair or sin and let Satan lead us away in our relationship with God. But rather, we should grieve knowing that we will see our loved ones again. So we should remember this every time we attend a funeral or every time that we visit a Christian's grave. There is hope with being reunited with our loved ones again in the future. So now that we know this, then let's move on to our second question then. On what basis is this hope guaranteed? On what basis is this hope guaranteed? Because you may hear this from God's word that, oh, one day you'll be able to see your loved ones again if they are believers in Christ, coming back with Christ in the future. How do we know that this is true? How do we know that this promise will actually happen? Because if we doubt about this promise or we're unsure about this promise, then we can just succumb and go back to just feeling very suffering and sorrowful. But rather, if we know that this is a guarantee, then we can truly have this hope. Let's say that there is a friend that you have who lives overseas, and he told you that he is going to come to the U.S. to visit you. Now, you don't know when that's going to be, and you don't know whether that's going to happen or not, so because, you know, people usually say things, but then it doesn't really actually mean it to be. But then your hope that he will come visit you is solidified, is guaranteed, once he shows you the plane ticket that he bought, that he will leave on this day, he'll come fly, and he will land at this airport, and you'll pick him up there, and it's a guarantee that you will be able to see and you will meet him. So having this guarantee will solidify this hope that you have. So again, how do we know, what hope do we have that will guarantee that Christ will actually come back and bring with us our loved ones who have passed away? I'll give you the answer to this one right away. So question number two, on what basis is this hope guaranteed? So the answer, the hope of reunion with our loved ones is guaranteed because two things, because of the resurrection of Christ and because of revelation from God. So again, this hope of reunion with our loved ones is a guaranteed because of the resurrection of Christ and because of revelation from God. Let's go back to our passage. Read with me starting from verse 14. Paul says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." So Paul affirms that we as Christians, we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel message. But then he says, "even so." So this word, "even so," it can also be translated as "in the same way." So in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring back those with him who have fallen asleep. So in other words, this is saying that if we believe in the resurrection of Christ, in the resurrection of Jesus who rose from the dead, then we, in the same way, can believe that he will resurrect the believers who have passed away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So basically, Christ's resurrection guarantees the physical resurrection of the dead when he returns again in the future. So even Martha knew this truth. Even Martha believed this when her brother Lazarus died. In John chapter 11, verse 24, Martha said to him, Jesus, "I know that he, Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." So we know that our hope of being reunited with our loved ones who have passed away, who are believers in Christ, is a guarantee because of the resurrection of Christ. But then there's something else as well. It's also because of the revelation from God. Read from verse 15. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord." For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. So Paul is reminding the Thessalonians that this truth that he's talking he's sharing with them, is not from himself, it's not from man, it's not something that he made up, but it is something that is directly from God. So this revelation of God also guarantees the fact that Christ will come again and he will raise up those believers who have passed away. So this is what gives us hope. So again, question number two, on what basis is this hope guaranteed? This hope of reunion of our loved ones is guaranteed because of the resurrection of Christ and also revelation from God. Now, there was once a man who lost his wife in an accident. And during the funeral, one friend came up to him and said, I'm very sorry for the loss of your wife. And this man replied, no, I didn't lose her. You can't lose something when you know where it is. And I know where she is. She's with Christ. So on the authority of God's word, it is a guarantee that his wife is with Christ in heaven, and his wife will come back with Christ in the future. He knows that this will happen. He knows that this is a guarantee. Christ will one day come back and resurrect those who have died in the past. So now that we know that this is a guarantee, then we can truly find that comfort that we seek in our life. Whenever our loved ones pass away, or maybe in the future, whenever it happens, we know that we can find that comfort and we can grieve differently. And we shouldn't be afraid of our own death in the future, because nothing can be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Okay, so now that we know that there is this hope that we can have to be comforted when we are grieving over the loss of our loved ones in death, and now that we know that this hope is a guarantee, then we move on to our third question then. How is this hope fulfilled? How is this hope fulfilled? How is it accomplished? How does it go about? So as we look in the rest of this passage, we'll see Paul describe this. So I'll answer this question right away as well. So how is this hope fulfilled? Here's the answer. This hope of reunion with our loved ones is fulfilled on the day either as Christ comes with us or comes for us. So I know it's a little bit confusing, but I'll explain that when we get to it. So again, question number three, how's this hope fulfilled? This hope of reunion with our loved ones is fulfilled on the day either as Christ comes with us or comes for us. So let's read from verse 15. Paul explains this. Paul says, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of our Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So here Paul is talking about on that day, at the end of the world, when Christ comes back, you will see Jesus descending from the heavens, okay? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we see that Jesus had finished his earthly ministry and ascended back to heaven. And this verse says this, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So we know Christ, when he left the earth, he ascended into heaven, but he will return in the same way. So we see a picture of Christ descending down from heaven. And as we read in verse 16, as Christ descends, we will hear the loud voice of a command of an archangel, and we also hear the trumpet sound. And then at that moment, we will see the resurrection of those who have passed away, those who are in Christ. So at the coming of Christ, at the voice of the archangel, at the sound of the trumpet, we have the resurrection of the dead, of those who are in Christ who have passed away, and they're given new glorified bodies. So in context of us, if we pass away from this life prior to Christ's coming, then we will be also resurrected when Christ comes. So this is what we mean when we talk about this Christ coming with us. So when Christ comes back again, he will come with us because we will be resurrected from the dead. But at the same time, there is another type of coming, which is Christ coming for us. So what happens next? Verse 17. Then Paul begins to talk about those believers who are currently alive on earth. Verse 17. Then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So right after the resurrection of the dead, then those believers who are left here on earth when Christ when Christ returns, will also be caught up into the air and to be with Christ. So this word caught up, I guess in the Latin Vulgate, is rapiro, which is where we get the word rapture. So you may know this as the rapture. So, you know, when Christ actually comes back, he will collect, he will rapture those believers left on earth to be with him in the future. So this is when we're talking about Christ coming for us. So now we see that this is actually a glorious day, a glorious moment, because we have the resurrection of the dead, of those who have passed away, who are our loved ones, who are Christians. And then if we are left here on earth, we are also caught up to be with Christ together. So we have a reunion with our loved ones who have passed away. We will see them again. This gives us comfort and this gives us hope. But not only that, it's also hopeful because it is also not necessarily a reunion, but it's also a fellowship, a gathering with Christ as well. So we have hope, we have comfort, because one day all of us as believers will be with Christ. So this is a glorious day. So let's answer our third question again. How is this hope fulfilled? So we said, the hope of reunion with our loved ones is fulfilled on the day either as Christ comes with us, in other words, when the resurrection of the dead, or he comes for us, when he comes in the rapture and he brings us to him. On this day, on that moment, this is when this will be fulfilled. This hope is fulfilled. We are reunited with our loved ones who have passed away, and we are also united with Christ. This is a hope that should fulfill us. This is a hope that we should look forward to and should help us as we are grieving over death anytime in this life. So now let's move on to our fourth and last question then. What do we do with this? How can Christians respond with this hope? How can Christians respond with this hope? Let's read verse 18. Paul ends this passage by saying, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So how can Christians respond to this hope? Christians can respond to this hope by encouraging one another. Christians can respond to this hope by encouraging one another. So in this life, I think we can be prepared to remind other Christians of this hope, especially if our friend, if this Christian is grieving over the loss of a loved one. Remind them of the hope in the future that, yes, they will see their loved ones again if they're in Christ, that they will be reunited with them when Christ comes back in the future. And we can also use this hope as an opportunity to share the gospel with non-believers. Because, again, if you don't have a worldview that there's a God who loves you, if you don't have the worldview of there being a life after death, then whenever you experience death or whenever your loved ones pass away, you can understand how hopeless it will be. You can imagine the type of sorrow and grief that they will be going through. This is a good opportunity for you to show God's love to them, for you to share the gospel with them and give them the hope that as Christians, they will see their loved ones again when Christ returns. So we shouldn't just think about our own body of believers, but also think about those in the world who have no hope. And I think finally, we can also encourage one another by also reminding ourselves that, you know, it's inevitable that Christ will come back one day in the future. He'll come back very soon. If you notice in this passage, the Apostle Paul used the pronouns we. You know, say, oh, we who are left on earth, who are alive. So he's speaking as if he's expecting that Christ will come back in his lifetime or in the lifetime of the Thessalonians. But we know that that didn't happen. We know that Christ still hasn't come back yet, and a lot of them have passed away before that has even happened. But yet, what the Apostle Paul is trying to say is that for us, we should live every day, we should live our life as if Christ were going to come back anytime soon. Yes, Christ's second coming is imminent, but imminent means that it can happen at any time. So are we ready? Are we prepared for that? Are we living our lives as if Christ will come back at any moment? I mean, he could come back right now. He could come back right before I finish this sermon. He could come back even in the next week or so. I don't know. No one knows the date and the time. But the question is, are we ready and prepared for that? So I think if we encourage and remind one another, it will also affect the way that we live and also affect the way that we grieve, especially as we grieve over the death of any of our loved ones. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Again, we answered four main questions. So let's review those. First question we'd ask, what hope can Christians grieving over death receive for comfort? And we said that Christians grieving over death can be comforted with a hope of reunion with their loved ones. Then we move on to the second question. On what basis is this hope a guarantee? And we said, this hope of reunion with our loved ones is a guarantee because of the resurrection of Christ and the revelation from God. Question number three, then how is this hope fulfilled? How does it come about? And we said, this hope of reunion with our loved ones is fulfilled on the day either as Christ comes with us, so when Christ comes, he will come with him as we are resurrected, if we have passed away already, or when Christ comes for us, or if we're still living here on this earth, and Christ comes and he raptures and carries us to him. And then finally, our fourth question, how can Christians respond to this hope? And as we just said, Christians can respond to this hope by encouraging one another. So everyone, as Christians, we should always have this hope with us. We should be able to have this hope at all times, from the beginning of our life, even to the point of death, and even beyond, because there is more to this life after death. The temporary pain and the suffering that we may experience in this life from losing a loved one will be replaced by a joyous reunion with them when Christ returns in the future, and or when Christ one day calls us home. This hope should comfort us, and this hope is a guarantee. So Lord willing, next time, as we continue on in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we'll begin to focus on this day when Christ actually returns. How should we live a life of holiness in preparation and in expectation of when Christ will return in the future? And because we have this hope, we can be able to do so effectively. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we want to praise you and thank you for this message that you've given us, this message of hope. Father, there should be no fear of death, whether this fear is upcoming in the future, because we know that one day we will leave this life, or whether this fear may come from one of our loved ones who have passed away. But Lord, you have conquered death. Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross, but not only that, defeated death and sin by resurrecting from the grave. This gives us hope for a future reunion with our loved ones in Christ. We will be reunited with them, and not only that, we will be united with you. Father, this should be enough hope to help us to get through this life. All the pain, sorrow, suffering, all the sin, it shows how much that we really need you. We can't imagine living this life without this hope. Father, we want to praise you and we want to be able to thank you for everything that you've done for us in this life. May we live this life to glorify you and please you. And may we live this life with a hope that will help us to please you. Father, we want to lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.